Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Ideas as to what to do, but I haven't made a final. I like to make the final decision 1 second before it's due, you know, because things change.
An acquittal in the Karen Reed retrial in suburban Boston. WBZ's Emma Friedman has the details.
Karen Reed was accused of hitting her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV and leaving him to die in the snow in Canton in 2022. Reed's defense team maintained that she was being framed and that she was innocent of the crime.
Almost a year ago, a separate jury deadlocked over whether Reed killed O'Keefe. The Supreme Court has upheld a Tennessee law that bars minors from using hormones and puberty blockers for gender transition. Here's CBS's Justice Department reporter Jake Rosen.
Under the majority's ruling, although these laws that forbid treatments for minors are okay, the court did not reach broader questions about the status of transgender people in other circumstances.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. NPS has launched phase one of its summer lead cleanup program. There are 14 schools targeted, including Hartford, Milwaukee French Immersion, and Humboldt Park. The effort follows last year's closures of 9 schools due to lead concerns, 7 of which have since been reopened. District officials say each building takes a little more than a month to remediate. They expect all work to be completed before students return in the fall. It's another run up the flagpole for the Brew City banner debate. After last year's unsuccessful push to adopt the People's Flag as Milwaukee's official flag, Alderman Peter Bergelis is now calling for a task force to oversee an open contest for a new city flag. The task force would have 4 months to present a ranked list of finalists. Republicans are rumored to be considering a huge cut to the UW system. That was first reported by Civic Media's Todd Albaugh. Funding the UW system was originally on the Joint Finance Committee's agenda yesterday, but it was removed shortly before the session began. Savannah Tolme Olson has more.
They're reportedly considering an $87 million cut to the system's budget when the Trump administration is also threatening UW's federal funding. Democratic Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire.
They are doing research into Lake Altoona in my district as to why there's so much sediment coming through and why there's so much runoff. There's not a university in Altoona, but Altoona gets the benefits of that because it is the Wisconsin idea. Our universities, our higher ed, goes everywhere. It impacts everybody in this state.
As of the time of this recording, it's not clear yet when they'll put the UW system back on the agenda. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
It's the Cubs and the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of the Cubs and the Brewers tonight in Chicago, where rain is in the forecast at Wrigley Field. The Cubs winning last night 5-3. Milwaukee's Chad Patrick lasted 5 innings but gave up 4 runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
I thought Chad Patrick did a nice job. He had a little struggle in the 5th there, third time around. I thought Mears and Rob Z, at least for the first inning, and Anderson were really good. So a lot of positives from it. You know, a lot of good things tonight, so stick with that right now.
NFL, Jaire Alexander signed a 1-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens today. The former Packers defensive back released last week will earn $6 million. Packers' new president, Ed Policy, on the Lions, Vikings, and Packers this season.
You know, it's pretty exciting because I don't think the entire NFL has ever been more competitive than it is right now. And I think our division is not only the most competitive division in football right now, but maybe in the history of the NFL.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms and a low near 60. For tomorrow, early showers, then clearing skies and highs in the upper 70s. A few storms could kick around the area Friday, a high near 80 degrees. Currently, it's 66.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Act Two here at Nightlight tonight. Great to have you with me. We've got DeLorean Walls had to cancel tonight, so we have a secret review of the film Ballerina coming up at 7:35. And our question of the night is, in honor of National Splurge Day, what is in your shopping cart? We'll catch up on texts in just a few minutes. And we talked a little bit in the first hour about how Conrad holds doors open for people, and no one seems to thank him, regardless of demographic or age.
Yep.
It just doesn't happen. I'm sure he would love to hear or get some advice from all of you. And I had a guy bird dogging me at the gym the other night who wanted to work in, and I didn't know what to do with that. So we had it was a great conversation. but right now, I'm very excited. We've got my pal Dave Patterson is here. Dave is a movie producer and a writer and a playwright and a stuntman and a firefighter, and he does all kinds of things. Do you do foot massages, Dave? Is that on your dossier?
Only for the wife CV? On her okay. birthday and anniversary.
Only? So, yeah. Okay, just those two times. Is that because you don't want to do them at other times, or is she just like, you're not touching my dogs unless it's a special occasion?
You know, we have an agreement. I don't want to go into it. She's an attorney there, you know, and there's an NDA that's been signed. So let's just say, you know, we've agreed to disagree on how many foot massages happen. And those are the two guaranteed ones.
I like it. I like how you guys make things work. And I always love to hear the word ergo or mea culpa when it comes to a foot massage. So,
there you go. There
legalese. You go. Absolutely. All right. So we were talking about all your various careers, and it's interesting. I always feel like, you know, especially as a writer, you have to bring stuff and life experiences to whatever it is you're writing. And you've got a stuntman background, and it sounds like you've done some really cool stunts, and you worked with Robin Williams. How was he, by the way? Was he pretty cool?
He was the most generous and incredible person I've ever worked with. He's a star, but he insisted on coming out of his trailer to watch me do his stunts, to make sure I was okay.
Wow.
So the first person to help me off the mat from my high fall was Robin Williams, him helping me off the mat. Said, how are we doing, Chief? And then drowning in the East River, the first hand to reach out to me was Robin Williams. Someone else was holding his other hand because it was on a jetty.
Oh, man.
And he was helping me out of the water. He goes, how are we doing? Water looked chilly. How about that, Chief? And I'm like, yeah, it was a little chilly. I mean, for that, I had never experienced that on any other film set when I was doing stunt work, that the actors were concerned about the safety of their stunt people. And
what do you think about Tom Cruise, Dave? When he does these stunts, how protected? Like, I don't know if you saw the most recent Mission Impossible or the one where in Ghost Protocol he jumped to the other building and broke his leg or broke his foot. how protected is he? Like, is it a miracle he's still alive, or do they take such precaution? And I know that there are insurance issues when you make movies. You have to really protect people. But what's your take on that?
Well, I'd have to say Tom Cruise, who I really respect as both an actor and a stuntman.
Yeah.
He does have a level of crazy, which you have to give him street cred for.
Sure.
I've never met a stuntman who's worked with him that has not given him the exact same.
Wow.
There are safety elements to protect you in certain stunts. But if you've seen, I'm not ruining this because you've seen it in all the trailers, he jumps out of an airplane with a flaming parachute. And yes, there is another parachute to help him as he's going down.
Right.
However, sometimes backup chutes don't open either. And yeah. So when you talk about pure, I guess, craziness in a lot of ways, or faith in yourself, or maybe he's best friends with Jesus, I don't know. But I think the most dangerous job on a Tom Cruise movie is the producer that okays those stunts, because they may be out of a job if that chute doesn't open. So,
right.
You know, I recently heard that he's getting an Oscar. He's getting an Oscar, the next Oscars, for his, you know, overall contribution to the film business. I think he deserves it, to be perfectly honest. I think he's a good actor, and I think he got kind of shortchanged in a couple things earlier in his career. But what he's done for the film industry overall, and especially for stuntmen, he's done a lot of things. They still need an Oscar for stunts, but
yeah,
we're working that way. We're working towards that.
Right. That's a great answer. So as we've discussed in the past on this show, you wrote and produced Bridge to Terabithia, the movie version. Your mom, Catherine Patterson, wrote that absolutely brilliant book. And I just want to tell you all what kind of guy Dave is. My daughter was reading it in fifth grade. I decided to read it with her because I knew you and because I wanted to see what she was reading. So we had that experience together. I thought it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. And there were a couple times I just couldn't stop crying. I teared up and it was just beautiful. Some very, very beautiful passages in the book. Dave agreed to meet with my daughter's class over, I don't even know if it was Zoom or if Zoom even existed then. It was pre-COVID, but you talked to her whole class, and I cannot say enough nice things about you. I still appreciate that to this day, and they got such a kick out of it. But how do you feel when this masterpiece your mom wrote is banned at various libraries throughout the country? I want to fight people when I hear that. I get so angry.
Yeah, you just kind of shake your head. You shake your head because, you know, there's so many worse things in the world on the planet. And for them, because, you know, one of the big things is the young girl questions the existence of God. What kid doesn't question the existence of right. anything in today's world? Authority, you know, rules, regulations. And she doesn't say there is no God. She just questions it. And yet the book has been banned because of that. Some of the most ridiculous things is that the book suggests incest because the boy lives in the same or sleeps in the same bedroom with his sister because the house is like this big.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's definitely incest that, you know, you have an older boy sleeping in the same room with his younger sister. And it's like, well, do you know poor? Have you ever met a poor person?
Right.
Literally, you have four or five kids sleeping in the same room. And, you know, I don't think that's an orgy. I think it's just four kids having to live in the same room because that's all the space they have.
Wow.
So, you know, and ludicrous things. You know, part of it's based on me as a child. And my mother knew that we used to create forts down by this creek and we would play and imagine. And so she wrote about that in the book and people are like, oh, well, this is about witchcraft and, oh you know, gosh. Santeria and all this stupid things because wow. the kids are making their own worlds. You know, it's crazy. And, you know, we have discussed this, my mother and I and other folks over the years. We don't think it's that. It's that they don't want a very tragic thing happens. I don't know if we want to ruin it for all the audiences, but that really, really bad thing that happens in the book, adults don't want children to be exposed to that. Mm. So they find a myriad of excuses to ban the book so children do not have to face that horrible thing that happens to all of us at some point in our lives.
Right. Which your mom handled so beautifully in the book and explains it. Like, if anything, that's how you want kids to learn how to deal with loss or see an example of it. You know, yeah. To me, I just thought it was amazing. It's based on your childhood and a friendship you had. So you're right. You don't want to ruin it for people, but I do encourage everybody to read The Bridge to Terabithia.
It's about a young boy's friendship found and friendship lost.
Yeah.
And you have to read the book to see how that happened.
So great. David Patterson is my guest. He is a movie producer and writer of movies and plays. So tell us a little bit about, you had a unique experience as a volunteer firefighter, Dave. You live in the suburbs of New York. How have you been able to bring any of those experiences to your writing or acting or stunt work?
Well, it's an interesting question. I was a rescue worker at 9/11. I had a construction background, one of my thousands of jobs, and I specialized in demolition. And so I walked into Ground Zero after the attacks and worked there for a couple of days. And when I came back out of it, I told my wife that there was two things that affected me. First of all, working alongside all the firemen, I wanted to become one, but I was already too old for New York City. They had a 30-year-old cutoff and I was already 35. So I said, well, I think I could do it in town. And I want to become a fireman in town. And I've been now almost 25 years. Next year will be 25 years in the fire department.
Nice.
And then I also said, and I may get on a plane tomorrow, I may not land. So as a writer, I want to try to make a movie of my plays. I'd already had several plays done, some in New York City, but my career wasn't going anywhere. So I said, I'm going to take one of my plays and I'm going to make it into a movie. I'm going to send it to this film festival in California called Sundance. This is how ignorant I was. Sundance is in Utah, but I just knew Robert Redford was in charge of it. So I assumed it was in California, Hollywood. And it got in. And literally my career as a writer-producer took off in film. And that's primarily what I've been doing for all these years. But if you want to talk about finding characters in a fire department, let me tell you, that's a place to find characters and stories and steal them. A good writer always steals from people that they're unaware of. And then you just kind of change it around to make it your own. So the funny thing is, when I got into Sundance, the New York Times called my captain at the firehouse. And they said, we would like to talk to you about David Patterson. He said, this is New York Times? Like, yeah. You want to talk about Dave Patterson? Like, yeah. What do you do? And they said, well, he has a movie that's going to the Sundance Film Festival. My captain's like, well, what is the Sundance Film Festival? She goes, well, it's a film festival. It's like, Patty, he's like, no, he's a stay-at-home mom. He's probably vacuuming right now. He does not write. None of them knew I was a writer. None of them knew that I was an actor or stuntman. I just joined as a local guy. And they had no idea of my entertainment background. And so then they actually called me in and really grilled me about what I do in my life, because they knew me as a stay-at-home dad. They just figured I'd been unemployed for years and given up on looking for a job. And that's why I was home raising two boys.
That's so great. Have you seen the Manhunt, the search for Osama bin Laden? I'm asking you this because as someone who is so close to Ground Zero, just as a dad who had a one-year-old son when 9/11 happened, and I was scared to death because we were living in LA. I thought LA was next. I didn't know what was going on. It was hard for me to watch the first 20 or 30 minutes of it. I don't want to watch those planes crash anymore. I just can't. I'm just done with it. I lived through it from a distance, obviously, not like you. But do you watch those shows? Or can you get into them, or is it too difficult?
Well, that one specifically, no. Every year when it comes around, when they start showing, the reenactments or the stories about, you know, the day that I do watch them, because the crazy thing is, and I'm not the only one to say this, those of us who were there still have trouble believing that it actually happened. I mean, to be there, I mean, people say you always remember the smell. I mean, firemen remember smell. That smell was so unique. I've been in a lot of fires and there's never been a smell like that again. And I think a lot of us check ourselves. That work Ground Zero, and I don't know if you are familiar or the audience familiar, we've had more people die from cancers from working at Ground Zero than people that actually died that day. And I've lost a couple friends. and there will be many, many more to come. So a lot of us that were there do watch these things because it still did it, because a lot of America has forgotten about it. So for a lot of us, it's like, it did happen. I'm pretty sure it happened. I was there. I saw it. I was a part of it.
And, this is great stuff. Let's pick up there. We'll have a couple more minutes with Dave Patterson after this very short break. Thanks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Great to have you with me on this rainy Wednesday. Tony the Trucker. Our question is, what's in your shopping cart? Because it is National Splurge Day. Tony the Trucker says, Pete, it's whatever makes my wife happiest. That's pretty vague. And I read that because we'll get to the rest of your text. I knew Dave would like that one because you love a good wife joke, Dave.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've exhausted them after 30 years of marriage, so it's always good to hear another one.
Hey, speaking of which, tell us how you released a movie last year called The Girl Who Wore Freedom. You released it, I think, in 110 cities, close to D-Day. How did that movie do, and where can people see it?
Well, you can catch it on Amazon. It is on basically all the streamers.
Okay.
And that sort of dovetails to the story about the release last year. The film came out during the film festival circuit. You and I are familiar with the film festival circuit.
Yeah.
During the COVID film festival circuit. Oh, so man. It pretty much died a miserable death. Every festival got in, it won the award for best documentary. And we struggled to find distribution. And then not last December, but the December before, I told her, I said, you know what? We're going to put this in the movie theaters. And the filmmaker, she's like, there's absolutely no way we can do that because it's already on streaming. You know, we don't have a distributor. I'm like, no, we're the distributor. Because technology had changed so much that we weren't sending film cams to places.
Right.
We were sending, you know, the little DCP things,
yeah,
or whatever
exactly.
You call them. Yeah. And so she goes, well, you know, what, you're going to go after the major chains? I went, absolutely not. I said, this is about America. This film is about America. It's about Americans who sacrificed everything And it's, we're coming up on the 80th anniversary. So like I said, it was 18 months ago. I said, this film's about D-Day. It's the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We're going to get it in theaters. And what I did is, and what I explained to people about the internet, it's great, not just for free porn, but there actually is valuable research that you can get out of it. So what I did is I researched all the mom and pop theater chains throughout the United States. And there are thousands of them where they own like four or five theaters, but each theater has two or three screens. And the average age of these owners are your age or my age or older,
right,
who had family in World War II, whether it be parents or cousins. And so I tracked down their emails. I reached out. I said, we'd like to do this for D-Day. We're looking to release a couple, like a week before D-Day or through it and after. And we want to honor the veterans of your community. And again, I did the research. I said, you still have two World War II veterans in your community, or you have 12 in your community. And I said, this is an opportunity for you to honor the Americans that gave you the right to show whatever movie you want in your theater.
Love it.
And they bit. And we got it in over 110 theaters throughout the US. And it's a documentary. Do we make a ton of money? No, but I'm Scottish. We did not lose money. And that is the important thing. We made some cash. We made some cash. Everything got paid, and that was it. But
great,
it was a wonderful experience. And like Salt Lake City did a day of recognition. You know, they did a letter of recognition. I forget what it's called, but a proclamation.
Oh, okay.
And they honored all the veterans of World War II and all the veterans past and present. And they mentioned our show, and it was playing at this theater. And, you know, it was a wonderful experience, because 85th, there's not going to be that many vets around.
Every year, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is shocking. When we did this almost 2 years ago, there were 250,000 World War II veterans still alive. I don't know what it is now, but by the 85th anniversary, that number will probably be 50,000. And those are the guys that lied, who were like 14 and 15, that lied to get into the services.
To fight for their country. Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that is, I don't know if people are listening, to self-distribute is a ton of heavy lifting. So I applaud you for that, Dave. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't know porn was
everyone
free.
Was scared, but me. Everyone was scared about it, but me, because I'm the dumb stunt man. I'm like, oh yeah, we can do it. No problem.
That's the Scottish in you, right? Of course, exactly. We can do this. I was going to make a free porn joke, but it just would have landed with a thud. My joke was going to be, I've got a $2,000 a month internet porn habit. So I didn't know it was free.
Yeah, that's a ba-dump dump joke.
Hey, next time you come on the show, I want you to tell your you say you pulled a Hasselhoff. We'll get into that next time. I cannot thank you enough for being here tonight, buddy. Always so much fun to talk to you. And I'm sure you'll have more stories next time you come back. Keep living life, bud.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. That's Dave Patterson. Go read Bridge to Terabithia, rent the movie, rent The Great Gilly Hopkins, look for Love Ludlow and The Girl Who Wore Freedom. A very prolific guy and a heck of a guy, Dave Patterson. So, Con, do we have time to play that? Let's play that Tom Cruise. This is
sure.
Perfect segue, because we have a clip about how crazy Tom Cruise is. Dave just talked about the stunt work Cruise does, and I found this clip. So let's hear that now.
I remember going up there, you know, just to see, just to look. And I sort of walked in, all these stunt guys with pulleys. Everyone was like sat on the floor, braced. It was completely silent. Everyone was really concentrating. And then I kind of crept towards the edge and I looked out, and Tom was just hanging there with this massive eating grin on his face, like having the most fun. Everybody was so serious and utterly petrified that something was going to go wrong. And there's Cruise just having the absolute time of his life.
All of a sudden we hear, woo! And Tom goes by outside, swinging way wide by, and then he makes a rough landing into one of the sides of the building, and you hear, bam! And we're like, oh my God, our star's dead! And then we hear Tom laughing.
That was the scene, that was Simon Pegg talking, and they're talking about the scene where Cruise gets pulled out of the skyscraper, and he's on a cord, and they take precautions, but just incredible. That's actually not the clip I thought we had. I remember he was on a talk show with Rebecca Ferguson and some of the other cast members. So, but that was Yeah. That was a great clip to watch. So anyway, when we come back, my son Joe will be here to talk about what he felt about, what's the movie? Ballerina. John Wick Ballerina. So we'll get into that right after the news. Thanks for being here, folks. This is fun. It's a Wednesday. What's in your shopping cart? It's National Splurge Day. We'll read some texts when we come back, too. It's Peach Wobbin Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. How much do you love? Commit yourself.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The president says he's not yet made up his mind about whether he'll order American attacks on Iran.
I have ideas as to what to do, but I haven't made a final. I like to make the final decision 1 second before it's due, you know, because things change.
An acquittal in the Karen Reed retrial in suburban Boston. WBC's Emma Friedman has the details.
Karen Reed was accused of hitting her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, with her SUV and leaving him to die in the snow in Canton in 2022. Reed's defense team maintained that she was being framed and that she was innocent of the crime.
Almost a year ago, a separate jury deadlocked over whether Reed killed O'Keefe. The Supreme Court has upheld a Tennessee law that bars minors from using hormones and puberty blockers for gender transition. Here's CBS's Justice Department reporter Jake Rosen.
Under the majority's ruling, although these laws that forbid treatments for minors are okay, the court did not reach broader questions about the status of transgender people in other circumstances.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Brewers get rained out. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. Brewers and Cubs are supposed to play tonight at Wrigley Field, but steady rains, game has been called. They'll move tonight's game to August 18th and a doubleheader at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Chicago winning last night 5-3. The Cubs doing a good job this season closing out games. They are 40-1 when going into the eighth inning with the lead. NFL, I had a chance to talk to the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, yesterday at Lambeau Field, and asked him, when he takes over for Mark Murphy this summer, what are the things he wants to focus on?
The Packers, the entire organization really exists for three things and three things only, and that's to win football games, to keep the Packers in Green Bay, and to strengthen our community. So I'll be really focused on those three things, and the next big thing will be first and foremost to focus on fielding a very competitive football team that's hopefully competing for championships.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Carrie Bradshaw, a.k.a. Sarah Jessica Parker, recently spoke to Huffington Post UK. During the interview, she talked about the backlash she received for playing Bradshaw on HBO's Sex and the City. Parker discussed the double standard between men and women and how women are treated differently when they're portrayed as cheaters on TV. Parker made a point to say that her character on And Just Like That is judged similarly decades later. New episodes of And Just Like That premiere Thursdays on Max. For those of you who are like me and live in a remote area, there is good news regarding a new comedy to check out. Friendship is now available to stream, according to the New York Post. The A24 cringe comedy that asks the question, should men have friends, stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd and had a modest but successful limited theatrical run. Friendship is available to stream on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms and a low near 60. For tomorrow, early showers, then clearing skies and highs in the upper 70s. A few storms could kick around the area Friday, a high near 80 degrees. Currently, it's 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news?
you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on a rainy Wednesday. We're about to find out if it's rainy in other parts of the state, but in Northeast Wisconsin here, it is. It's kind of sucky. Con, don't you? Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the walk
to the garage.
Yeah,
we should bring an umbrella. We should be like the, those guys that like try to both crowd under an umbrella when we walk back to the. Just to make it weird.
I don't know if I know you that well.
To share. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you hold a door open for me, I'm not going to thank you just to keep that hitting streak going. Our question of the night, folks, is what's in your shopping cart? And that is in honor of National Splurge Day. Conrad's dad checks in from Florida. He says, like Conrad, I have a golf club in my shopping cart. The ultimate splurge would be to hire a crew to build an all-brick patio around our all-season room. Our neighbor just spent... $30,000 on his new brick patio, which looks awesome, but wow, very pricey. People are really kind of shoehorning things into the cart, I think. I love that Monica Hale said there would be airline tickets so she could travel. Now your dad is saying he wants to build a brick patio. So he would find a way to put those things in a shopping cart. I love that. Thank you, Steve. What else do we have here? Kate from Stevens Point, she's in the 715, says Kinder Eggs. Oh, that's a good one. Is there a little impulse buy eggs? I've seen those. And from the 818, Bridget says, school stuff for my classroom, magnetic blocks, fidget rings. Okay, so Bridget's a teacher. That sounds very selfless. And now I feel ashamed at the things I wanted to put in my cart, which was all cool electronics and sound bars for movie watching at home and guacamole and chips. So now I feel like a real jerk. Thank you. Thank you, Bridget. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Kate. Still time to get in on the fun. If you want to send us a text, we'll read it on the radio. Tomorrow night on the show, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind. Are you excited for this, Conrad? The guy behind the guy.
Behind the guy. Yep.
J.B. Thompson will be here in studio. This guy is making independent films. He's a brilliant marketer. I think people have referred to him as a marketing ninja. So we'll talk to JB. He will make the popcorn pick of the week. And JB has introduced us to a lot of guests, which I think has been great since we've been on the air. And then following JB on tomorrow night's broadcast will be Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. So that'll be fun too. We'll talk about a really cool museum. We'll get a popcorn pick from our pal JB and, more great stuff tomorrow night on Nightlight. Right now. All right. So today, folks, earlier we got a call from DeLorean Walls. DeLorean helped found Brothers for Brothers, or Brothers Helping Brothers here in Green Bay. And we were going to have him on to talk about men's mental health because June is National Men's Mental Health Month. And DeLorean is very active in that world and with food insecurity as well. So we were going to have DeLorean on. He had a family emergency, so he had to bail kind of close to showtime, which that tells you it's a pretty serious thing. So we wish DeLorean well, whatever it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, and we will reschedule him in the near future and look forward to speaking with him. So filling in the bullpen, we're going for the lefty out of the bullpen on short notice. My best buddy in the whole world and my son Joe Schwabba joins us now. Joe, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Did I embarrass you with that intro?
No, I'm happy you called me a lefty. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that would be, you know,
I wish I was.
Your grandpa Tom, my wife's father, for those of you listening, suggested, because I was a bigger baseball fan than I am now, he said, tie his right arm down, teach him to use his left hand, because lefties, do you know that, Conrad? Lefties do, they more likely are to get drafted. What am I trying to say here?
Well, it's because against right-handed batter. they succeed more.
Right, but they're rare. They're more rare, yeah, too. Yes, finding a left-handed pitcher, like even a mediocre lefty is going to make a lot of money. And I'm not saying it's probably too late for you, Joe. I hope that doesn't discourage you, but I had
my arm's tied down right now. I'm still committing. Even though you get ball given up on me, I'm still...
Fair enough.
Have dreams.
All right, so I thought this would be fun, Joe, because I know you just saw Ballerina from the universe or from the world of John Wick. Ballerina is technically the term. We spoke about it briefly on the show, I want to say with Matt Miller recently, who was kind of, I think, liked it, but didn't think it compared well to the other John Wicks. I'm still going to see it. What did you think, Joe?
I did not like Ballerina very much.
Okay.
I thought that it's just one of those movies that isn't very good. And I don't know exactly how to explain why. I think part of it was because I went into that bias of it being a part of a, you know, everything has to be a spinoff now. That's the only way they'll make movies and put them in the theaters if they're a spinoff. Like John Wick already has 4 movies.
Yeah.
And they're good. But did that, why don't you make a new action movie? You know? So I think I just kind of had that bad taste in my mouth. And I like Ana de Armas a lot as an actress. I think she's a really good actress. I think she might have been slightly miscast in this.
How so?
Movie. Well, I think she suffers from something that I like to call actor's run.
What's that?
Actor's run is where you have, you know, someone that's been an actor for a very long time, and they never learn to run or throw a football or do some of these.
Oh, funny.
You know, more athletic thing. You know, like some people, like Keanu Reeves, I think famously in Point Break, like almost got a scholarship or something to a college because he was so good at football.
In real life, you mean?
In real life.
Oh,
when he was
no
Johnny
kidding.
Utah in Point Break. And then, you know, he does John Wick and he's this athletic guy and it looks very real. But then there's people that I just didn't really buy Ana de Armas. You know, it always, when it would cut to her, she'd have this run that was just like, you know, and another movie that suffers from this is that one movie called Carry On that we watched on Netflix with Taron Egerton. And that dude cannot run at all. I mean, his pants were pulled up to like his mid torso and he's running and it's just like, ooh, what? He looks like a toddler or something.
That was so funny. I forgot about that because we were watching him run and he's the hero of the movie and he looks like a total spaz and you just kind of don't buy that. So, and my buddy, Mike Toomey always used to say that when they'd get actors to play athletes and then all of a sudden they throw like they're using their left hand and it's like, wow, really? You couldn't fake that somehow? So what was it about Ana de Armas? Was it a run or something?
It was mainly the run. Okay. I guess it never looked like she was doing that much damage. Cause I don't know. And maybe Ana de Armas is a very athletic person. I don't want to make any assumptions, but it didn't seem like when they would cut to her running or throwing a punch, it didn't feel like, you know, some like, why can't I think of her? Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh,
why can't I think of her name?
I'm totally blanking too.
Oh my
gosh. One of my favorite actors.
I can't think of her name. Can we look that up? Is that
I'm looking it up right now.
I keep thinking Keira Knightley. It's not Keira Knightley. It's
Fury Road. No,
can you give me a hint?
Yeah.
Is this bad radio right now?
It is bad radio, but it's okay. I got the director right here. Here we go. Charlize Theron, of course.
Oh, Charlize Theron.
She's like one of my favorite actors. I kind of blanked too.
I know. Like when she punches, it feels like there's something to that. Or she runs, you know, or Tom Cruise, obviously, just with Mission Impossible, you know, he's running and he's.
Absolutely.
I don't know. They're athletes.
So. And you're right about Keanu Reeves. Like he has been taking martial arts for 20 years too. Like the guy knows how to fight and he was athletic and he can pull that off. All right. So I want to say on Rotten Tomatoes, Ballerina got like a 60%. What would you give it if you had to just give it a percentile?
I mean, I want to start being a little harsher on these franchise movies that come out because I think that it's bad for the industry. So I would probably give it like a 20 or a 30.
Wow. Really?
I'm getting real sick of it. You know, every Marvel movie, I mean, they're being a little harder on Marvel movies now,
but yeah,
I just don't think everything should be a 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. It's like, right. It didn't always used to be like that. So I think we got to start being a little more critical on some of these expanded universe movies. Like, what else is getting rebooted now? Like,
well, the 28
How to Train Your Dragon gets a live action.
That got like in the '70s, but it crushed at the box office. It's supposed to be really good. Audiences love it, obviously. But here's another one. Here's another franchise. 28 years later opens up this weekend. 84 reviews are in, a 95%.
That's
Danny Boyle too. I think people are excited that he's directing this again, and I have no doubt it's good. I really, that's one I want to believe.
Makes me look very hypocritical because I am very excited for that movie. So.
Well, I know what you're saying, though, and I've had, like, when Matt Miller or Rob Thomas or Chris Foreigner on the show, they've agreed with me that some reviewers kind of pull their punches a little bit, and it's because they don't want, and I think it's some of the lesser ones, not necessarily like the New York Times or Variety, but they don't want to lose their press passes or their press credentials, so they don't really hammer these franchise films. But let me ask you this. Joe Schwabe, my son, is here. We're talking about Ballerina. He is the lefty out of the bullpen filling in for DeLorean Walls, who could not be here. Joe, you do comedy sports. You write. You're an actor. How do you feel? Where do you weigh in on these actors that judge other actors for doing Marvel films? Now, you're at a point in your career, you've done some indie films and commercials and stuff like that, but wouldn't you jump at that? I mean, put the serious actor side away and put your, because you like Marvel movies. Where would you come in on that?
Where would I come in?
Yeah, of course you do it, right?
I would. There's nothing I wouldn't do to be in a Marvel movie. I mean, I don't think we fully understand how desperate I am. I would do anything.
All right.
I don't care. Yeah, I do. I mean, maybe if you're a really good actor, you know,
that like a Shakespeare,
a career. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I liked Marvel for a long time.
I know you did.
A lot of those movies are good. Just it's getting a little ridiculous now, I think.
All right. So, I appreciate you filling in, Joe, and I don't know how this cut into your social life tonight or not, but I appreciate you taking the time. Is it raining in Milwaukee?
It is. It is raining.
All right. So it's not just us. I want to ask you before we let you go, what else are you watching? Is there anything you're excited about that you can recommend?
You see, I'm going to sound like even more of a hypocrite now because I just finished Andor, which is a Star Wars spinoff.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Okay.
It's awesome. That's an awesome show.
Con, what do you say to that? I'm not trying to start something here, but I got my actual son and my work son here. Some people have a work wife. I have a work son. What do you think about that, Con?
I mean, I watched one episode and I kind of got bored, so I just haven't resumed it.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Dude, get out of here. That's all I have to say.
Oh,
give
wow.
it a shot.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Listen, I'm going to give it a shot. Jimmy Cusco was on the show, Civic Media Sports Director. He binge watched both seasons and absolutely loved it. So that was all I needed. But the fact that you're saying you liked it, and Con only gave it one episode, so I'm probably going to I'm gonna lean towards checking it out. Joe, can we keep you through a really quick break here? And we'll wrap this up when we come back. I want to hear what movie. After this break, I want to hear what you thought about Andor, and I want to ask you what you're most excited to see of the movies that are coming out this summer. We'll do that with our guest, Joe Schwabe. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Oh, where can you go when your money gets low in the bay?
Welcome back. We are in the home stretch here at Nightlight tonight on this gorgeously rainy. It's not raining now, but the second I walk out and go to my car, it'll start raining again. So that's exciting. We got a text from Steady Eddie. Our question tonight, folks, was it's National Splurge Day. What's in your shopping cart? Steady Eddie says, Pete, for my splurge, all I want is one golf club, Augusta National or maybe Pebble Beach Golf Club in California. See what he did there? I like that. He says it has some beautiful ocean views. Fantastic. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Hope you're having a great night, buddy. So we have a couple more minutes here with my son and film connoisseur, Joe Schwaba, who is giving up part of his Wednesday night here on short notice to fill in for DeLorean Walls, who we will rebook. But Joe, so where do you, I asked you what you thought about Ballerina and how you would rank it on the tomato meter. Like if you could give it all the reviews and you said 20 or 30%, what about Andor?
First of all, connoisseur might be a bit much for me.
Okay.
I would say
movie fan.
Enjoyer. Enjoyer. I don't know. Okay. I would say Andor and 80 or 90.
It's funny. Jimmy Casca said it. He thought it was the best the Star Wars franchise had to offer. One of the best. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I absolutely agree. I think it's probably the best piece of Star Wars content I've ever seen. Maybe not my favorite, but the best, like, when it comes, like, as a piece of, you know, television.
Yeah.
I would say.
Wow. Very nice. So, all right. So what would you tell someone like me? You know, my relationship with Star Wars, I grew up, I saw the early ones and I liked it, but I kind of fell off. I think I've seen everything the franchise has had to offer and I'm a fan, but I'm stretched out over 40 years. It kind of all runs together at times. What would a guy, what would a casual Star Wars fan think of Andor? Is there something in Andor for a casual Star Wars fan?
I mean, yeah, I remember we used to watch it all the time when my left hand was tied to the table when we were
I still did, and I still didn't get a lefty out of the deal.
No. You got a Star Wars fan though.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that.
I think it's directed by the Bourne Identity.
Oh yeah.
Director or not director. I don't did Tony Gilroy direct I think he wrote the Bourne movies.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And he's actually somebody, and I've watched an interview with him, and he's somebody that said that he didn't really like Star Wars that much when he got the job.
Really?
And he kind of wanted to make it his own and kind of cater to people like you who might not be as big a fans of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I would say you could watch this show and not know anything about Star Wars at all.
And still
and it would still be a good show. Because I think it makes up for a lot of the things Star Wars lacks. Really great character relationships. The characters feel like each one of them has a life.
Okay.
And relationships and wants and needs. Sometimes Star Wars characters don't always feel like that.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the newer movies or the prequel series. They didn't always feel like fleshed out characters, but Andor, they really do. They feel like characters you can relate to.
That's interesting. And listening, we got a text on the text line. Everett in Sun Prairie is listening to our conversation and said, here's he dresses Conrad directly. Con, bud, watch the show. Andor and Rogue One are the best product in the Star Wars universe since the original run. They are gritty and human and emotional. If the rest of the franchise could capture that tone, they would never get old. Good on you, Joe. And then Everett continues and says, Skeleton Crew is definitely solid too. Sort of a Goonies meets Star Wars vibe. Then Everett says, not a Star Wars nerd, by the way, just a casual fan. Okay, that's enough for me to watch Andor. Between Jimmy and Joe and Everett, I agree. I don't know Skeleton Crew. Do you guys know that?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it. I will say to Everett, it feels better once you finally just accept it. You know,
what do you mean?
You're a Star Wars nerd. Just, I mean, the few, the proud, right? We got to stick together.
But I don't think, let's not, you know, guilt Everett into thinking he has to be full blown Star Wars nerd. I'm more along the lines of Everett here too. So,
Guilt and Everett. I want to celebrate him.
Those are great texts. Yeah. Joe, what are you looking forward to this summer? Like, I don't know, next time you'll make it up to Marinette, but what do you want to go see? I'm really excited about 28 Years Later that opens this weekend, a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh yeah. I'm really excited for that as well. I'll definitely be seeing that movie. I really want to see Friendship.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet. And I really need to, because I've heard really good things. I want to see that. I do want to see Superman. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I got to at least see it to see what's, what James Gunn is doing with it. I'm kind of curious. And then I want to see the new Naked Gun movie with Liam Neeson. That looks interesting.
I'm so torn about it. I mean, I'll see it, but it just did not need to be remade. He's great. Liam Neeson does the same movie all the time, but he's great at that. But aside from that, he's also a great and highly trained actor before he got into the action realm. I will say this about 28 Years Later, Jodie Comer, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ralph Fiennes, great cast. So I'm excited to see that too. Joe, thank you so much for your time, buddy. I miss you and have a great night. We'll do this again, I hope. Thanks for filling in.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. All right. That's Joe Schwabe. I'd like to also thank Dave Patterson. Great catching up with Dave. Thank you for all your texts and calls. I know, Con, you're going to give Andor another try now? You're getting pressure from all over the place.
You know, I'm always looking for a show to binge, so I might as well go back.
All right, why not? I'll tell you what. You watch it, and I'll watch it, and we'll compare notes at some point. Maybe by next week when we're back, when I'm back from Madison. All right. Thanks so much, folks. Always fun spending time with all the fellow couch potatoes. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. The U.S. appears to be moving closer to attacking Iran.
The president says he will make a final decision about U.S. involvement at the last second because things change. But this much will not change.
We're not looking for a ceasefire. We're looking for a total, complete victory. Again, you know what the victory is. No nuclear weapon.
When asked about his base being split over talk of war.
My supporters are for me. My supporters are America first and make America great again. My supporters don't want to see Iran have a nuclear weapon.
Adding Iran may now want to make a deal, but it may be too late. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Outside a courthouse in suburban Boston today. Supporters of Karen Reed cheered her acquittal in her retrial on charges of second-degree murder.